Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church for this, our first Lenten midweek service. Special thank you to our K-1 choir, although I don't think it was all K-1. I think there were a few older kids in there as well, as not all of our kindergartners are that tall. So we are thankful for their singing here this afternoon as part of our entry into our worship. We do continue in our Lenten sermon series called For Us. And today we'll hear about our Lord Jesus as more than the angels, but coming to take on our flesh for our salvation. If you are a guest or visiting with us, we are glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. You'll find attendance cards there in your pews. If you fill those out, our ushers will collect them midway through the service. If you have a meal following our service this afternoon, you can find that down in the fellowship hall. I believe it's goulash today. Probably start to smell it coming down the hall already, so we'll look forward to that time of food and fellowship together. We do have other announcements you can find printed in the bulletin still on the table from Sunday. And of course, then we go forth into our worship using Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203 in the hymnal. And a special thank you to Mr. Eli Beadle for playing on the organ here this afternoon. We sing now our first hymn, 401, From God the Father, Virgin.
Thank you.
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Deliver us from the deceptions of this world and the lies of the enemy, that we may follow you and listen to the sound of your voice speaking salvation through your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our first Lenten midweek service is from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him."
Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, is it I? He said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Seated now as the hymn of the day is sung, we sing the first two verses of hymn 544. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have seen one of them during the last Super Bowl. They've become popular in the last year's baseball season. They no doubt appear at other times as you're watching live TV at home. It's a kind of commercial. Starts off by showing various people in a multitude of settings and situations. Now, some of the people you will certainly resonate with, but others are certainly different than you and me. Are rich and poor, black and white, Asian, Hispanic, tattoos and piercings, suits and dresses. Rough neighborhoods are depicted right along with pristine suburbs. You wonder, the whole time, what is the point of all of this? What is this commercial getting at? Finally, the words appear. He gets us. If you know those words, seen those commercials, seen it on the backstops at baseball games, you know they come from a kind of Christian movement. You cannot help but feel some sense of comfort, even pride, at this presence of such an attention-grabbing commercial that has at its root a Christian idea. So the ultimate idea there is that Jesus is the one who gets all of us. Well, certainly many throughout the world do not believe that there is a God at all. Many others do believe, however, there is some type of higher power. But truly, he is a God far off. He is up there, far above, and we are down here going through all of our struggles and our strifes, the difficulties of this life. And so many find themselves disenchanted with such a notion of God. But Jesus is depicted as different. He is not one far off. In fact, he actually lived here. He experienced this life as we know it. He even faced hardship, persecution, injustice. This is a God that people can relate to. And those commercials strive to get their viewers to a website to find out more information about this idea of Jesus. How many actually follow through and do that remains a mystery, but that idea of Jesus getting us is good, but it is lacking. Jesus has done more than just arrive here into this world to try to understand mankind. Jesus did not stop in for a time to check on us and let us know that he's on our side
that he gets who we are. Jesus actually came here to save mankind, to restore us to our former perfection and glory, and even more, to become one with us. Our reading for tonight from Hebrews chapter 1 truly portrays that. And it is a most wonderful and beautiful text. While that human author of the book of Hebrews remains to us a mystery, his audience is fairly clear. The author is clearly writing to those from a Jewish background, from amongst the Hebrew people. More than anyone else, with their great and their rich Old Testament history, the Jews should have been expecting all along the incarnation of God's beloved and eternal Son. However, much attention, the first part of the book of Hebrews especially, is given to angels. Angels have always been an object of fascination with mankind. We usually see them portrayed as powerful beings with very big wings, even halos shining upon their heads. They're often depicted in bright robes with great majesty about them. And sometimes artists will even depict their innocence by making those angels infant-like. And we do get a brief description of the holy beings in Isaiah chapter 6, his vision of heaven, as we see the seraphim and the cherubim with six total wings. Angels throughout the scriptures we see taking on a variety of assignments from God, that of being messengers to God's people, guardians for the chosen ones of Israel, warriors against the forces of evil, and even worshipers of God, offering up his praise and thanksgiving. We know too from the scriptures that Satan is a fallen angel, now to be known as the head of those who have fallen away. Michael is depicted as the archangel, the one who binds Satan forever. Thoughts then tend to go to those beings, to angels as the champions, the ones that we desire most to have here in our midst. Yet Hebrews chapter 1 does the work of putting that idea, that theory, to bed. None of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." None of the angels ever heard God say unto them that he would be a father to them. There is never a time when angels owe worship to any other angel. It is only the Son of God, the Son of God who hears such words, who has that unique description. The Son of God is Lord of Sabaoth. Sabaoth being the Hebrew word for hosts or armies, the king over all of the angels. The Son of God, according to Hebrews 1, is the one who has laid the foundation of the earth, the very beginning. It is the Son of God who is the same, whose years have no end. The Son of God sits at the right hand of the Father until all of his enemies are made his footstool. Is the Son of God, who is appointed the heir of all things, and he is the radiance of the glory of God. The Son is the exact imprint of God's holy nature. And the Son of God upholds all things, the entirety of the universe, by the very word of his great power. And it is not until well into Hebrews chapter 2 that the author reveals the identity of this Son of God. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering and death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. the Son of God, has taken on our human nature. He has become one with us. Jesus more than gets us. Jesus is us. Jesus did not become an angel to save the angels. He became a man to save mankind. An ancient church father once preached, what Christ did not assume, Christ cannot save. So Christ has taken on the identity of mankind to save mankind. After all, it is man alone who was created in the very image of God, as Genesis chapter 1 so clearly states. Of course, angels are truly remarkable, and they are great beings. They are powerful messengers of Almighty God, and they serve as guardians and protectors of all of mankind. Yet they are still creations of God. And as we know from Satan and the demons, angels were, for a time, able to fall into sin. No angel, therefore, is powerful enough to save all from sin. No creation of God can ever provide a remedy for sin. God alone has that power. God alone can forgive sins. God alone can declare a sinner to be righteous. God alone can declare the state of an unrighteous being as his own dear and righteous child, making them heirs of his glorious kingdom. It is God alone who must come to rescue us from all sin and from all death and from the power of the devil. And that is exactly what God Almighty has promised all along to do through the death of his own dear Son. The offspring of the woman must indeed crush the serpent's head, and as such he must be both God and man. And we are reminded again, even now in the midst of the season of Lent, of the vitality, the significance of the birth of Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. God being made man is essential for our salvation. Jesus' baptism there in the Jordan River confirmed him as God's beloved Son and marked him by the power of the Holy Spirit as the anointed one, the Christ set apart for the work of all salvation for mankind. The Lord Jesus then took on our identity, the new Adam in the stead of the old Adam, to be our perfect substitute, our perfect sacrifice upon the cross. As Adam was tempted, as Israel was tempted, so Jesus was tempted. He's not a God who is far off, but rather the one true God who is near to his people. And he loves to be near to his people, drawing near to his people again and again, as he does now, through the Word and the sacraments. For the Lord Jesus knows you. He knows your every need, and he sympathizes with all of your struggles. For he has been tempted in every way as we are, and yet he has never sinned. God sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. Jesus has done that, worn the very robe of human frame, your own human nature for you, for your salvation. What's more, he continues to wear that very robe of human frame. For Jesus remains fully God and fully man. Even now, there is one man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says. So all thanks and praise be to God who has made his glory known in his Son, the one who has and continues to wear the very robe of our human frame, as he does so now and for all of eternity. For in Christ Jesus, that image of God has been restored once again to you. And you will live and you will reign with Christ in his kingdom forever. That is Christ's work and his promise for you. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen.
We stand now for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Grant to us grace, O Lord, that we may not withhold any devotion from your Son, but offer him the praise that he is due and the loving service he has so generously shown to us, that rejoicing in his forgiveness and life, we may show forth this gift to others in his name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you loved us with all that you had. We give thanks that you became one of us, no matter the pain, so that you might redeem each of us as your own. Keep us in your grace and guide us to proclaim this good news to others. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, remember our nation and its leaders. Bless all who make, administer, and judge our laws, and enable us to be good and responsible citizens. Guard and keep all who are first responders and serve in our military. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, we remember before you all those who are in need of body and soul and pray you to deliver them from their afflictions in accordance with your holy will. We pray especially this day for those we name now before you in our hearts. Sustain them all in the hour of trial and strengthen their faith with patience that they may not lose heart. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you give life to the dead and have united the faithful of all ages in the body of Christ. As you shelter all the saints in the arms of your mercy, so comfort us who await your final victory over death and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Lord, in your mercy. Into your gracious hands we commend ourselves and all those for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected.
Thank you.
We stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and say. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise, now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
We're seated now as our closing hymn is sung.